For centuries, people have turned to books during rough times, seeking some kind of therapeutic benefits from their reading. Now those benefits are being rolled into a new field, a new concept called bibliotherapy. Here to talk about bibliotherapy and the benefits of reading is Ella Bertu. She's credited as being one of the world's first bibliotherapists. She's also the co-author of the book, The Novel Cure, From Abandonment to Zestlessness, 751 Books to Cure What Ails You. Ella, thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Rob. Great to meet you.
So what exactly, give us the basic concept. What is bibliotherapy?
Bibliotherapy is the art of curing life's ailments through using fiction. So we meet a client, we send them a questionnaire in advance, and we get to know them through the questionnaire. We then talk to them for about 45 minutes, which is a bit like having an ordinary kind of psychotherapy session, but we're talking about books, and we get to know their life issues and also their reading loves and hates and dislikes and what makes them tick as a reader. And at the end of that session, we go away and think for a little bit, and then we prescribe them books, which will be their perfect reads, which will not only entertain them, but also help them through any problems that they're having at this juncture in their lives.
So what is it about fiction that can have that kind of power in our lives?
We feel that fiction can be a completely transformative experience because by immersing yourself in a book, you become as one with the characters in the book and also the sensibilities of the author, overcome your own feelings, and you can effectively live the lives of the characters within the book, which can actually make you experience a metamorphosis yourself. So sometimes fiction can completely change your character, and actually if you read the right book at the right time in your life, we do feel that it can be incredibly positive and help you to form your moral character. There's a lot of amazing books that people read in their childhood which are responsible for the way that they feel about things later in life. For instance, To Kill a Mockingbird is a book which has had a huge effect on a lot of people in the way that they see justice. And we could name hundreds of books. I'm sure, Rob, you've had the same experience in your reading life. There are books that effectively make you the person that you are today.
Now,
would you say that's true of yourself?
I think so. And if your next question is which ones, let me ponder that for a bit, and I'll maybe come up with a couple. But I wanted to ask, you and your co-author of The Novel Cure had been prescribing each other books for a while. How did you two start with this concept of coming up with books for each other to help each other through difficult periods of your lives?
Well, Susan Alderkin, my co-author, was at Cambridge University with me, and she actually lived in the next door room, and that's how we met each other. And we got to know each other quite slowly, but the process whereby we got to know each other was by noticing that the other one was feeling a bit down about something. So it might be to do with a relationship, a broken heart, or even something as slightly mundane as not being able to give in an essay. And when we realized that the other one was having this crisis, we would give each other a book. We would just sort of gently pop it under each other's doors late at night, and then we'd find this book the next morning. And we became very good at knowing what was bugging each other and giving each other the right book at the right time. So, for instance, Suze really wanted to be a writer, and you'll be glad to hear she did become a novelist and has successfully written two fantastic novels. And when she was having a crisis about that, thinking, I'm never going to be able to make any money, how am I going to work as a novelist and get on with the rest of my life, I gave her the fantastic book, I don't know if you know it, called Archie and Mehitabel by Don Marquis, which is, he's a poet, Don Marquis, who used to work, he's a real man that used to work in the New Yorker offices. And in this book, he is pretending to be a cockroach who's writing poems in the middle of the night in the New Yorker offices. And the cockroach has the soul of a bard, and he is desperate to get down his words. And the point of me giving that book to Suze was that if Archie the Cockroach can write this amazing poetry by headbutting the keys of a typewriter, because that's the only way that he can write his poetry, because he's a cockroach, then, Suze, you can actually do the same effectively by going all out to write your novel and not caring about the rest of the world. And if you believe in it enough, then it will work. And that's what happened.
That did the trick? She didn't gripe about the comparison between her and a cockroach?
Luckily not. She saw to the soul of the poetry.
Excellent.
And she found it funny.
Now, you are the first practicing bibliotherapist, as I understand it, but this concept has been with us, I don't know how far back, this idea that there's some power in fiction that can shape our lives, change our lives, hopefully for the better.
It goes back to the time of Aristotle, when there was actually a library that had words carved above its entrance saying, "This is a place of healing," in Greek. And people realized even then that books had the power to heal. So that's 1,000 years ago that people were realizing that by reading you could be healed. And it's carried on, it's still been acknowledged over the years. In the Second World War, doctors occasionally gave their patients who were soldiers who'd been to the war and been shell-shocked, they were given the novels of Jane Austen, which I wouldn't necessarily say are the best cures, but the reason they were giving them those books was to try and sort of calm them down and use bibliotherapy as a way of addressing their disconnectedness with their present world, having been to the war. And actually, bibliotherapy has also been used over the last 50 years for children who've been having difficulties for various reasons, whether it's abusive parents or poverty or being dislocated from their homes. And they've been given bibliotherapy as well in various different ways. But the way that we do our bibliotherapy service is something quite new.
Talking to Ella Bertu about the concept of bibliotherapy, the idea that we can find in fiction the cure for what ails us in some cases, maybe not for a broken bone, but maybe for the trauma of having broken a bone. Well, let's talk about some specific recommendations, Ella. You mentioned, these efforts in World War II, maybe Jane Austen, not the best. But if someone came and said, "I've been through a traumatic experience, maybe at wartime," what kind of books might you point them toward?
Ah, yes. Well, actually, I haven't been asked that question before about wartime experiences, but that is a very interesting question. We do have... the thing is, it so much depends on the kind of person that you are and what you like to read anyway. So whenever we meet a bibliotherapy client who has either been referred to us or come of their own accord or been given bibliotherapy as a gift, we have to take into account very much what kind of person they are, what kind of reader they have been before. So if we are to meet a soldier who's been through great traumas in the war, we would first need to know, does he actually like reading detective fiction, crime fiction, science fiction, literary fiction, before we can give him his prescription. But we have got, having said that, various generic cures which we find very helpful. So one of our best cures for stress is a really lovely book called The Man Who Planted Trees by John Giorno, which is a kind of fable about a man who literally goes around his area of countryside, which has been devastated by war, and he plants acorns, which then grow into a forest. And it's a very short, beautiful book, but it is one of those books which is extremely healing and redemptive. So that's the kind of book that we would look at. But then we also might consider giving our shell-shocked soldier something that's a very escapist book, or a book like The Kite Runner by Khaled Husseini, which shows you the other side of the Afghanistan war. also what it's like for the people, the indigenous people that were there. So we always have to be very careful to make sure our prescription is completely unique to the person.
We're talking to bibliotherapist Ella Bertu about the benefits of reading, her book recommendations, the use of fiction to get through difficult patches of our lives. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Have you ever had this happen to you? Have you ever used a book to get through a hard time, a turning point in your life maybe? Is there a fiction book in particular that helped you make a decision, gotten you through that rough patch? What books do you read when you're feeling lonely, scattered, sad, angry? Which books do you recommend to someone else in that situation? Call in with your experiences and your recommendations at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our conversation now about bibliotherapy, the benefits of reading, reading fiction in particular, with Ella Bertu. She's credited as being one of the first bibliotherapists, and she's the co-author of the book, The Novel Cure, From Abandonment to Zestlessness, 751 Books to Cure What Ails You. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you turn to fiction for some form of solace, for healing? Do you need certain books or kinds of books for a different mood, a situation in your life? Give us a specific recommendation on a book that helped you in some way, a fiction book. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Go right to a caller. We've got Katie on the line in Hartford. Katie, hi.
I wanted to recommend a book. It's not fiction, it's memoir, but it's called Half a Life. And for me, it was particularly healing. I dealt with a loss of a cousin who died in a bike accident. And the story is about a man who at age, I think he was 16, accidentally killed a young woman who was biking. And he spent the rest of his life just sort of dealing with that.
And Katie, who's the author of that?
You know, I don't recall.
Okay, but Half a Life is the title.
Half a Life, yes.
And that, you feel like it helped you through that rough period?
Yes, definitely. I think anybody who's dealing with any kind of guilt or even just loss, I think this book would help.
Katie, thank you so much for that suggestion. Ella, I imagine this is something that comes up a fair amount. People dealing with loss of some sort or another. Do you have books that you've recommended to people in the past?
Very much so, yes. And we do have, we do prescribe memoir as well occasionally, but we have a good range of novels that we give to people when they are bereaved. And of course, there's so many different kinds of bereavements that we do have many different books for each client. But one of our favorites is After You'd Gone by Maggie O'Farrell, who's a British author. And she writes very movingly about the death of a fictional husband, and that is a very cathartic book. Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close by Jonathan Safran Foer is one of the books that we often recommend, because that was a book about the Twin Towers and the bereavement of a boy whose father died in that tragedy. Also, Siri Hustvedt's book, What I Loved, which is another novel, is about the death of a child. And that's a book which is extremely painful to read, but also is one which any bereaved person can massively relate to the experiences that the characters are going through. And many of our clients have found that book a very helpful book to read in times of bereavement. And yes, that is one of the big things that people come to us for bibliotherapy sessions. It's often a case that they come to us at times of crisis in their lives, and the death of a loved one is one of those moments.
Katie, thanks for that call. Galen, our producer, by the way, lets us know Half a Life is by Darren Strauss. Grew up out of a This American Life episode, a public radio show, This American Life. I'll go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. We've got Catherine on the line with us now in Madison. Catherine, hi.
Hi.
What book did you want to bring up?
I wanted to bring up Bridge Across Forever by Richard Bach. I received the book from a gentleman in Atlanta with a note in the front of it that he hoped it would help me make my decision. This was about a marriage proposal. And I, the more I read the book, the more I was sure that I had picked the right guy, not him, but someone else. And so I gave the book, I forgot about the inscription in it, and gave the book to the other guy.
That's a great story.
Who had already proposed and moved our marriage date up after the inscription.
Wow. Okay. So the hopefully this was good outcome here. The marriage worked out, Catherine?
It was the best.
Oh, wonderful. Good. I wanted to make sure we had a happy ending there. Thank you, Catherine. So that's another thing I wonder about. People with a decision to make, whether it's yes to that proposal, yes to moving to a new country, yes to a new job. Are there good books you've recommended for turning points? What do I do now, Ella?
Yes, that's a great question, too. One of our books that we often recommend for turning points is by Saul Bellow, and it's called Henderson, the Rain King. I don't know if you know that.
I've heard of it, haven't read it.
Yeah, it's a great, fantastic, sprawling novel about a man who goes to Africa in search of himself, and all sorts of crazy things happen to him on his adventures. But it is one of those books which you live through all these enormous events in this man's life, and you feel very much better able to make your own decisions by the end of it. But it's a kind of magical book that you can't quite explain. Also, R.K. Narayan, who's a really fantastic Indian author, wrote a really lovely book called The Guide, which is about a man who starts off as a tourist guide and goes through many different careers until he becomes a spiritual guide. And it's a very wise, beautifully written, and very short book, which is an easy read. And that's one of those books which we give to people when they're going through these kind of turning points, too.
Talking about the power of fiction, the healing power of fiction, with Ella Bertu, a bibliotherapist. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234 with Terry in Oconomowoc. Terry, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. My first year of teaching was in Los Angeles, and it was the year of the riots, which really shook me to the bone. And I remember at our back-to-school night, we actually was open house night. We had to, you know, be in before sundown. And for the next 2 years, I read nothing but African-American literature. And I know you're talking a lot about fiction. One of them was The Power of One, which is about South Africa. But I also dug into a lot of nonfiction. The autobiographies of MLK and Malcolm X makes me want to holler. I read W.E.B. Du Bois, The Soul of Black Folk, and it just opened up another world to me and helped me make sense of what had just happened. And I still refer to it because of what's going on now around the country.
Terry, wow. Great story. And Ella, reading for understanding in what must have been a confusing time, especially to be that close to that historic rioting and restlessness in Los Angeles.
Absolutely. Well, we think that reading is very much about the desire to discover more about the world. And often one of their main reasons to read fiction and nonfiction is to find out more about your own part of the world and other people's cultures. So we very frequently recommend books for people who are visiting other cultures, trying to understand their own culture. Historical fiction can be really great for that. Also, people clearly read a lot of nonfiction, which is about the history of their own countries. But we do tend to veer towards fiction because we feel that authors really can get under the skin of the characters and hook you in a way that you don't necessarily get so hooked in by nonfiction. But it all depends on the reader. Some people much prefer to read nonfiction.
Ella, briefly, as we're almost out of time, what are you reading right now?
I'm reading a huge number of children's books at the moment.
Fantastic.
Because we're writing the follow-up to the novel Cure, which is going to be called A Spoonful of Stories, which is a kind of novel cure for kids. So the idea is that parents can look up ailments that their children have, from anything from bullying to moving house, moving country, parents getting divorced, etc., and find the perfect books for their kids to read. So I'm having a great time reading everything from Divergent to Little House on the Prairie.
Well, Ella, I look forward to talking to you about that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
That's Ella Bertu, bibliotherapist, co-author of the book The Novel Cure.